You know, when you talk about life at the start of a new year, one of the questions that come up that I think all of us have to deal with and be reminded of, and this sermon's more for me than it may be for you this morning, is how do you do what Paul did? When Paul came to the time when he realized he wasn't going to live much longer, he says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. Have I fought the good fight? I have finished my course. Yeah, I have a course. So do you. I have kept the faith. How could Paul make a statement like that? You know, as you go through the word of Paul and his writings in the gospel, especially in Ephesians, Romans, Galatians, Philippians, what you see is him telling us that you and I need to live in three directions. I'd like for us to look at those three directions here for a few minutes this morning. And as I said a moment ago, I struggle with some of this, so this isn't directed at anybody but me. On the other hand, we all fight the same fight, don't we? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation given you, but it's common to man. We all face the same struggles. When you woke up the other day and it was 4 degrees and there was a foot of snow in your driveway, we all face the same struggles. But overcoming those struggles is another part of it. I'd like to suggest to you that one of the things you and I need to pay attention to, and I'm more guilty here than anybody, is that we need to live in the direction of self. What I mean by that is that we need to realize that God places a premium on our bodies. Ephesians 5 and verse 29, Paul says, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord does the church. He goes on in verse 28 and talks about loving his wife as he loves himself. God expects us to take care of our body. God expects us to take care of our body. The body is a temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning with verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. That's pretty fierce. For God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. You know something? You and I need to take care of our bodies. My wife's been harping on that with me for 7 years. She hadn't made much progress. But we're supposed to get enough sleep. We're supposed to have a good diet. And she's been battling that one. Medical care. We're to avoid certain things. Alcohol, smoking, drugs, pollution. Being overweight. Yeah. Workaholic. Yeah. As I said, this is me. I'm not the only one in this room. See, we are encouraged by God to be good stewards of God's temple. You know, it's interesting to me that if a person's concept of the church, of the temple, is a building, they really take care of it. You ever thought about that? I always enjoy going into Sacred Heart Church on Notre Dame campus, the big gold dome church, we call it. That's quite a place. Do you know something? You walk in there with muddy shoes, they'll throw you out. You walk in there and not properly attired, they'll ask you to leave. We place a premium on physical worship places. We take care of them. We decorate them properly. We make sure they're clean. We keep checking their foundations. Why don't we do that with our bodies? Christians should be the healthiest people on the planet. And I think it's important for us to understand that God helps us with this. I mean, when Jesus said in John 15:16, whatever you ask in my name, we need to pray about our physical bodies. Help me do better, Lord. It may not look like it, but I've lost some weight. I'm working on it. That's important. It's important for you. And we need to understand that sometimes God allows us to suffer physically, mentally, spiritually, when we don't take care of our bodies. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited, there was giving me a thorn in the flesh. There's been all kinds of speculation about what that thorn was. That really doesn't matter. The point is, whatever it was, Paul says, the messenger of Satan, to keep me from becoming conceited, to torment me. Romans 12, beginning with verse 1. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, it's important for us to understand that everything God has told us morally, psychologically, physically, is to help us live successfully physically. Why do we talk about the evils of alcohol? Why do we talk about the evils of drugs? Why do we talk about pornography? Why do we get into the kinds of issues that the church stands against? Because, brothers and sisters, these areas are areas that tear down God's temple. We need to stand against alcohol. We need to stand against smoking, against drugs, against pollution, against the things that destroy the temple of God. God calls us to live in the direction of self. So it's important that we encourage each other. This morning I hear these two guys that are doing some rehab because of concerns about their heart, talking about how many miles per second, what the speed is on the treadmill. Well, I'm doing 3.5. What are we talking about? We're talking about taking care of our bodies. And it's interesting to me that the most spiritual among us are people that also take care of themselves. So you have a responsibility to yourself, to God, physically. And young people, turn up your hearing aid. The problem that we have with young people today is that they know a lot more about what it takes to stay healthy than any generation has ever known. They know why they shouldn't smoke. It was kind of interesting to me, when I was teaching physics, I had a little thing I did in electrostatics called a control precipitator. We took a cigarette, put it on a vacuum pump, and ran the smoke through a filter. We had a little white rat. We took the rat, shaved a little of its hair off, and we put that tar from that cigarette on the rat's back. We did that for 3 weeks. It was covered with tumors in 3 weeks. And it was kind of interesting because one kid came up to me and said, "You just ruined my day." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I usually get a smoke between this class and next hour. I don't think I can do that in good conscience." I said, "Wonderful. Wonderful." We're in a time when people are talking about the use of marijuana as a recreational drug. What is not being told to our young people is the known negative aspects to their health of that, especially for young people. That there's a direct correlation between the use of marijuana and the inability to be able to learn and to think later in life. This isn't some religious thing in a direct sense, but it is consistent with God's word. God says, take care of the temple of God. In Acts 2 and verse 40, what does it say? Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. God calls us to take care of ourselves physically and spiritually. So in Philippians 2 and verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean dream up your own method. It means you have a responsibility to yourself to do what God says to do. And if you have doubts, you need to resolve those doubts. If you have questions, you need to get answers to those questions. And if you don't know where to look, that's why we're here. We'll help you find the answer. We may not know the answer, but we'll help you find it. Philippians 2 and verse 12 goes along with Galatians 6 and verse 3. If a man thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We need to take care of ourselves. And you won't like this statement, but we need to understand, we all know this, that we take care of ourselves by denying ourselves. Why do I weigh more than I should? I have a hard time denying good food. But I have to do that if I'm going to stay healthy. You know it's unpopular, but you know that Jesus is right when he says in Matthew 16 and verse 24, let him deny himself and take up his cross. That applies to everything. But the second direction that we need to make sure that we live is in the direction of others. In Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31, there's a discussion by Jesus about how his followers should live, about what makes Christianity different. And you know this passage. I've read it to you many, many times. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered together before him, and he will separate these people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. We all want that, don't we? We all want to know that when we die, we're going to have something better. What does it say determines this? For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And you can go on and read the rest of that passage. It's so clear. It's so clear that God wants his people to live in the direction of others. That's what separates us from people in the world. Because you see, an atheist is not going to do any of that stuff. No atheist, no person that denies the existence of God is going to sacrifice themselves to help somebody else. It's survival of the fittest. It's dog eat dog. I know, I've been there. And if you just think about it, who is it that has the operation of the homeless shelters? Where did you see people going when the temperature hit 10 degrees in South Bend? Was there an atheist center? Was there a humanist center? Well, you know the answer to that. We need to understand that God calls his people to be different. So Jesus says, Matthew 5 verse 14, you are the light of the world, a city that cannot be hid. Nobody can drive by our building and not see the sign that says, we're here to feed you. And we've had all kinds of opportunities because of that. In Romans 12 and verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil. That's not what we do. What we do is help others. So Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. Let me tell you something. I didn't ask Julie to do this. But somehow, mental telepathy or something, it hit at just the right time. I didn't even know she was doing this when I worked on this sermon. But Julie's made out a spreadsheet in which she has all the opportunities that are on this, in this congregation to serve others. Help make visual aids, bulletin boards, lead singing, prepare communion, lead prayer, provide transportation, greeting cards, make bread for visitors, the food pantry, Timbers monthly visit, fleece blankets for Timbers, provide meals when needed. Well, it goes on and on and on. There's a whole sheet here. And I ran a bunch of these off. If you're interested in doing what God calls you to do, I'll set them right here. Help yourself to one of those sheets. We're going to have a congregational meeting at the end of this month. And we're going to ask you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? There's a whole bunch of things that you can do. Because God calls us to do good unto all men. We need to live in the direction of others. And what this congregation is about is providing you a platform by which you can do that. Now you say, I don't want to do that. Okay, that's your choice. But God's children, according to Scripture, are those who are going to live in the direction of others. So 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 14, says, and we urge you, brothers. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm urging you. Warn those who are idle. Well, I'm going to be idle. You've got 168 hours a week. What are you doing with it? Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong. But always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. I'd like to go just a little bit with this, further with this. He's got a lot of folks here with kids, young people. You know, one of the things I would encourage you to do? I would encourage you to emphasize to your children the importance of making their whole life live in the direction of others. So when they're trying to decide what to do for a career, get into a career where you serve others. And it's not just because that's something that the Bible says we should do. It's because that's where you find meaning in life. So be a nurse. Be a technician. Work in medical fields. Get involved in geriatric work. There's such a, and incidentally, the jobs are enormous. And the pay's gotten better and better and better. So do what God calls with your life. So it's important to understand that the emphasis goes far beyond just what we do as a congregation, but what we do with our lives. So if you have a gift to take care of children, be a teacher, work in daycare, do things that can make a difference. And let me suggest something to you. The Bible doesn't call us to tithe, okay, financially. As a matter of fact, I would hope when you get to my age, you're giving more than 10% of your money because you don't need it when you get to my age. 10% was something the Jews had as a legalistic requirement. And on Wednesday night, we're talking in Galatians about why the teaching of the New Testament is not about legalism. But how about giving 10% of your time to somebody else? How about using some of that 168 hours a week that God has given you to make a difference? Julie Sheet gives you a choice. We've got all kinds of opportunities to serve. One of the things I'm proudest about in this congregation is that we have so many people that give so much to the community. We are known in this community because of what we have been involved with. Every time we're working out there picking up trash, we have people who know who we are. It was a joy last year to pass out a flower to our neighbors because every time I talked to them, they knew who we were. Yeah, we know what you are. We know what you do. We're watching you. So tithe your time. Pick up one of those sheets and take a look at it. The last point I'd like to make this morning is that we need to live in the direction of God. 139 Psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. That one's a little scary, isn't it? He knows what you're thinking before you say it. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go into space, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I ride on the far side, settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like a day, for darkness is as light to you. For you have created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. God has created us with incredible minds and bodies. The fact that you can think and reason and understand what I'm saying this morning is incredible. Animals can't do that. The fact that you were able to do something for somebody else is remarkable. The fact that you can communicate is unique in having language. Oh yeah, animals communicate, but they don't have language. That emotions and responses to God are within your reach. Romans 14:8 says, for whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. You know, it's kind of interesting that Jesus in Matthew 22, beginning with verse 36, had a young lawyer come to him. And he asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus' first response to that is, having your life tied up with God is the first and greatest commandment. Live in the direction of God. Why? Because it gives you the capacity to live in all the other directions. But what's interesting is that he follows that immediately in the next verse by saying, and the second commandment is like unto it. And notice what the response is. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Three ways of living. Number one, put God first, because that gives you the basis to do everything else. Number two, live in the direction of others. And so you should be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Living in the direction of God is an honor, it's a blessing, it's a plus. And so here we start a new year. And what I hope in terms of last week's discussion and of this morning's discussion is that this is going to be a good year for you. It's going to be a good year for this congregation. That together we're going to grow closer to each other and closer to God. That we're going to be able to do more in the community. And so it's no accident that the first Sunday in February, we're going to have a little talk about that. Get together as a congregation and say, okay, where are we going? What are we going to do? Which of those things that are on Julie's sheet are you going to be a part of? I hope you come. I hope you'll be a part of that. Because we're doing everything in our power to help each one of us to live in the direction of God. We're providing opportunities to live in the direction of others. But only you can live in the direction of yourself and take every bit of strength and every bit of energy that you have to serve God. If you're here this morning and if you've only been living in the direction of self, you know, that can be a selfish thing. We've talked about the fact that you need to take care of yourself. You do that by denying yourself, by being able to live in a way that promotes your health, but also gives you the capacity to live in the direction of others. And we pray that this morning that if it's been the kind of thing where you've lived so much in the direction of self that you've neglected others and neglected God, I hope you take some time to talk to the Lord about that. And if you want us to talk to the Lord about it with you, we consider that an honor. So if you're in any way responsive to the invitation of Jesus, if any of these things are something on your heart, we urge you to come as together we stand and sing to encourage you. Won't you please come?